Welcome to a new episode of our S4N Changemakers podcast. Today, I'm excited to speak with Christian Grappatin, partner at Monitor Deloitte, about decarbonization of heavy industries and associated challenges of the energy transition. Hi, Christian. It is a pleasure to have you as our guest.
Hi, Thea. Thanks for having me.
Christian, you have over 16 years of experience in strategy consulting, and you are an expert in the energy sector. Could you please tell us a little bit more about your career and how you got involved in the energy business?
So I studied business engineering and management at the Karlsruhe Institute of Technology. And there I focused in particular on energy generation technologies. And then I started my professional journey in EnBW's graduate management program and spent around 4 years as an asset portfolio manager in its energy trading department. And for more than 10 years now, I've been part of Monitor Deloitte's energy strategy team, where I guide clients in the energy and in heavy industries through complex transformations and sustainable growth journeys. I guess it's fair to say I have a genuine passion for the energy industry, which has played a significant role in shaping my career and making it an integral part of my identity or who I am.
Perfect. And I like that you're not only advising about the energy industry, but really started at the roots of it and really can, you know what you are talking about. So I'm very happy that you will show us some insights today. I would like to use the beginning of our interview for a general assessment. You work at the heart of the heavy industry, and you are also broadly positioned in other energy-related sectors. What are the biggest challenges and, so to say, to-dos that concern your clients right now? Are there also any interesting and positive developments in tackling these challenges?
From my point of view, four priorities dominate. First, cost pressure. High labor costs, energy prices, and carbon costs threaten competitiveness. Second, regulatory complexity. Navigating EU ETS, CBAM, and national policies, you name it. Third, technology scaling, bridging the gap between pilots and industrial scale. And last but not least, geopolitical shifts, supply chain fragmentation, tariffs, etc. Positive developments. Absolutely. Front runners are turning challenges into opportunities. And to name a few ones, digital acceleration, for example, AI optimizing energy use in real time, or circular ecosystems, for example, waste heat reuse or scrap in steelmaking to reduce CO2. Third, CCU, CCS, and last but not least, collaborative partnerships across the globe. For example, steelmakers partnering with renewable developers.
Mm. You just mentioned some challenges such as regulatory complexities, geopolitical challenges, and so on. And that concerns especially the industry in Germany and other European countries, so to say. Thus, do you see, for instance, a process of deindustrialization in Germany? If yes, what would you, if a client would ask for your advice, what would you recommend stopping it?
Yes, to some extent, but it's not inevitable. How to stop it? I would recommend first utilize cost levers. So address cost structure like labor costs, energy costs. Second, cut the red tape, so fast-track permits for industrial projects. Third, double down on industrial clusters. And number four would be, for me, export the model. So German engineering plus green tech can lead to global decarbonization leadership.
Perfect. And so that was the advice for the next steps. So if you look back and with your industrial expertise, was the energy transformation so far too fast for some companies, so that we didn't use the green tech developments and German engineering you just mentioned? Or what is your experience that went wrong or others did very well?
I mean, the decarbonization challenge is indeed massive in size, but it's well underway. If you look at the figures of the International Energy Agency, you can see that more is already being invested in clean tech than in great tech. And those who are poised to emerge as future winners recognize the need for focus and are prepared to adapt the models, investing in the necessary changes. And if you look at the point of departure, we find ourselves faced with increased competition and mounting pressure to invest in the green energy transition. Mm-hmm. Next to the fact that a heated energy market and geopolitics have put the spotlight on security of supply, and technology is available and ready. And there's, of course, also a high public funding window to be used by the heavy industries and the energy sector. However, of course, it's not all smooth sailing. There are several challenges that must be addressed, like stretched supply chain and workforce, overloaded planning and permitting, uncertain future markets. Hydrogen is a great example, but also a bit reflecting your question around the deindustrialization, the value shift along the value chains in heavy industries. And last but not least, kept green energy transition financing. Nonetheless, there are winning themes that can guide us through these challenges. You need to look into your portfolios. You need to trim those portfolios, create or establish flexible structures. It's required to use capital and funding window in an effective way, excellence in capital asset management, and of course also form a kind of end-to-end operating model more and more to a make-by-partner operating model.
So all these about establishing flexible structures or, for instance, utilizing capital and funding more efficient. Are these points that if an industrial client would ask you right now, how do you see the energy market in Europe in the next, let's say, 5 to 10 years? What would be your answer? Would it be still these points you see at the moment, or will the landscape change?
At Deloitte, we regularly publish future of power studies in which we simulate the electricity market and the demand markets. We assume various extreme but plausible scenarios even until 2050. The scenarios are determined by political factors. So global geopolitics on the one hand, and the coherence of EU energy market and decarbonization policy on the other. As a result, we have scenarios that differ in terms of electrification and degree of CO2 reduction. However, there are also scenarios that have a lot in common, regardless of whether you look at the world optimistically, as in our open clean tech scenario, or more pessimistically, as in our growth before climate scenario. In all scenarios, the demand for electricity increases significantly, CO2 emissions decrease, electricity production is determined by solar and wind renewables. We need gas-based generation capacities in the net zero scenarios than with negative emission technologies. And the investments are immense. So according to our calculation, cumulatively over 3 trillion euros in Europe by 2050. And electricity prices in such a world will be at a similar average level to today. But as we know, the volatility will increase. And it's important that we also see these prices so that the projects can be economically viable. Only economically viable projects can be financed. However, and that's the phase where we are, in the current ramp-up phase, the state, or more precisely, the taxpayer, is needed to hedge those risks.
Interesting, especially the vast amount of investments needed. I really have to check out that study. And I obviously share, not only because of our background, but that the volatility will be also one key aspect in also reducing CO2 and obviously leveraging energy costs and profits. But one key aspect of your journey so far and what you advise your clients about is, and what is obviously a key aspect of the energy transition, is decarbonization. That is, yeah, as I said, a strong focus of yours, helping to implement decarbonization strategies, particularly in the heavy industry. So before we delve into this topic, please give us, the listeners and myself, an idea of who are the front runner in that sector that are concerned with decarbonization.
From my point of view, front runners are and should be those with the highest emissions. So steel, chemicals, and cement. And further, even though we are not referring to heavy industries here, there are also some interesting players like Tree Energy Solutions, for example. They put solar panels and wind turbines in the world's sunniest and windiest places and use these renewable energy to generate green hydrogen. And they then combine that hydrogen with recycled or biogene CO2 to create electric natural gas, a hydrogen-based drop-in fuel that, by leveraging existing infrastructure, is readily usable for industrial, shipping, and transportation. So it's a combination of those with the highest emissions, but there are also some kind of innovative front runners as well.
For instance, you have a steel giant or someone in the chemical sector to develop strategies that drive green innovation and create value throughout their business chain, for instance. But what exactly does then green mean in such a heavy industry, such as steel or chemicals or cement you just mentioned?
The term green in the context of heavy industry is multifaceted and not completely uniform across the sector. It can vary greatly depending on the specific product or process in question. And sometimes its meaning isn't yet entirely established. However, there are somewhat shared understanding with the industry about its general implication. In broad terms, green encapsulates industry practices or products that minimize environmental impact, promote sustainability, and contribute toward a lower carbon footprint. This can cover a wide range of initiatives, from utilizing renewable energy sources and implementing efficient waste management strategies, to creating products with reduced energy consumption or carbon emissions. The differentiation comes when drilled down into specifics within each sector or product type. For example, if we look at the output, low carbon products. Yeah, if you take the steel example, for example, with lower than 0.5 ton CO2 per ton produced steel could be considered green. Or if you look at the process, electrification, hydrogen instead of natural gas, or circular feedstocks.
Does reaching climate and business goals actually work well together then? Do you have an example for us?
What I find as an interesting development is the establishment of regional energy clusters so that companies from different sectors, automotive OEM, chemicals, energy supplier, come together and create a kind of independent energy system and try to balance the investments across different partners.
Perfect. And how exactly can companies ensure that? How can the, let's say, decarbonization initiatives provide not only environmental benefits, but also commercial success?
There are definitely a couple of success factors. What I think is important is, on the one hand, to monetize the premiums, so the green premiums, for example, on steel or the brand premium because you're getting green. I think another important point is to leverage policies. So CBAM, carbon contracts for differences, you name it. And last but not least, to de-risk the technology topic. So creating joint ventures, partnerships, to balance the chance risk portfolio profile.
I like that. So we are all making the energy transition possible in a team. So with partnerships, I think that's also one crucial aspect coping with the challenges. And so if I decide as a company, as a steel company, for instance, or any other, I decide to go forward to turn green, let's say that, what would you reckon are the most common challenges those companies face when trying to integrate green strategies into their energy intensive company?
It starts with a high initial cost. So implementing green technologies or processes can require significant upfront investment, which can be a deterrent for many companies. Then technological limitations. So not all green technologies are sufficiently advanced or scalable to meet the needs of large energy intensive operations. And I would see regulatory constraints. So regulatory frameworks can be slow to adapt to new green technologies, resulting in uncertainty and or restrictions that hinder adoption.
On the way to net zero, the introduction of new products such as green steel, I think is the most known, requires not only technological innovation, but also successful go-to-market strategy. What are the key success factors in that area? You mentioned now some challenges, but what are the key factors to tackle to be successful?
Early offtake agreements. So secure offtake, because no CFO approves $1 billion DRI plan without committed buyers. Then certifications and standards. Trust but verify. Buyers need your proof. Green isn't just marketing spinach. Value proposition. So educate buyers on total life cycle value and green premium. Industrial buyers think in euro per ton and not in CO2 per kilogram. Policy arbitrage. So the margin hinges on subsidies like CCFDs. And last but not least, a partner or a parish. No one builds a hydrogen-based steel plant alone.
When talking about key success factors, some probably were thinking about that. So not only in the steel sector, but many other companies were thinking or preparing for their green strategy. A lot bet on hydrogen for the green transformation as a vehicle, and are now facing slower than expected progress. What were the initial assumptions and how should companies adapt to this changing environment?
So indeed, the progress of the hydrogen economy is slower than expected, which in consultant speak means we have gone from this will save us by 2030 to we need to strategically recalibrate expectation. But joking aside, many companies primarily assume these three things. Quick hydrogen production at scale and cost parity, strong governmental support in promoting hydrogen use, and of course, a broad hydrogen infrastructure across Europe. But the point is, green transition is not a one-size-fits-all approach. Alongside green hydrogen, alternatives like blue-gray hydrogen as bridge technology or CCUS are also valuable.
So they should talk first with you, and then they know how to do it the next time, so that they don't face the problem that it's slower than expected. However, looking back, if you could give one piece of advice to an industrial company navigating the energy transition, what would it be right now?
Don't wait for perfection. Pilot now, scale fast, and iterate. The energy transition rewards speed. Every day delayed is a missed chance to lead, to learn, to leverage policy tailwinds. The biggest risk, standing still while others move.
Last but not least, our change maker question is mandatory for our guests, as we like to ask them who their favorite change maker is, who they admire for his or her groundbreaking spirit, in the sense that you are also changing the with your advice the energy landscape, especially implementing decarbonization of heavy industries. Are there any other change maker that come into your mind?
I mean, there are many change makers in the decarbonization of heavy industries, but my favorite change maker would be Christian Bruch, the CEO of Siemens Energy, because his company and also the big bet he took on hydrogen and grid tech is a great enabler of the decarbonization in heavy industries, and it's also bridging idealism and pragmatism. So for me, he's my favorite change maker.
Fantastic. I love that combination about idealism and pragmatism. I think, especially in such a huge company, being a change maker is already a big challenge to really make the change visible also in time. Thank you, Christian, for these great insights. And yeah, I hope our dear listeners also enjoyed this episode with you.
Thanks for having me. Thanks, Thea, for the great discussion. And yeah, I hope the listeners will have fun with that podcast.